Today is a really blessed and happy day at Clear Springs. While we still have some paperwork pending, the paperwork's not overly important. We are functioning as one unit. We're, Lord willing, trying to mesh together as one body. And if you remember early on, one of the messages I tried to give to you for some things to meditate on was three focuses: to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then also to have our hearts knit together in love. And our opportunity and our blessing to partake of the communion service together for the first time as a unified body is a very important thing in having our hearts knit together in love. Okay? So it's a real blessing to have this privilege and this opportunity today. And just as we set our mind, as we set our heart to commune with Jesus, to fellowship with Jesus in this setting, I want to just present for your consideration, again, as we set our mind pointing toward the communion service, what is the value and the blessing of church membership? Okay? What's the value and blessing of church membership? Because church membership is not a required ticket to show in the door, right? You don't have to punch a ticket to be allowed in worship. And you sure enough don't have to be a member of a church to end up in heaven, right? God is so gracious to have given us this church and given us this kingdom, to given us this ordinance to partake of. You know, whether he gave us the church, whether he gave us the gospel, whether he gave us this kingdom has no bearing on that all of the elect family of God are going to be with him in heaven at the end of time, right? No bearing at all. But isn't he gracious to give us this kingdom? And not only to give us this kingdom, but to give us these opportunities to be put in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. Now, if church membership is not necessary for you to sit in this building in collective public worship, and church membership is not necessary for you to be in heaven, well, what's the value of it then? What's the benefit of it? And there's many things that could be highlighted, but really our focus this morning is that there is such a closer and more intimate fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ among the saints of God in the church of God after a public profession of belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and a public profession that I believe in the finished work of Christ is my only hope of heaven. Not my work, not my prayer, not my faith. The only hope of heaven is the finished work of Jesus Christ when he declared it is finished on the tree of the cross. There is a greater fullness of the abundant life inside the fullness of the kingdom than outside. And I really can't articulate that for you in the way that I would like to, because Scripture talks about things like joy unspeakable. You know, I've got joy, right? You got the joy down in my heart, right? Now, what's the difference between the joy in the kingdom versus the king? You know, I think about those Israelites. They had spent their whole life in bondage. The only thing they ever knew were the taskmaster's whips in Egypt on their backs. And when they just got to the banks of the Jordan River, they were just happy to be out of bondage, right? But there were 2.5 tribes that looked at the, fertile grass on this side of Jordan, and they said, you know what? This is so good, we're going to stay here. We want to stay on this side of Jordan. Well, you know what? They ended up, which is really unfortunate with them, they actually went, all of them went into, the analogy's not perfect, but they actually went into Canaan to help them drive them out, and then they went back out. They went back over Jordan. But they had been enslaved with the bondage of Egypt that just the banks on the other side of the Jordan River was better than they'd ever seen. And they said, we want to live here. But I can tell you, it was not as good as living in the Canaan's land that was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, why was it not as good? You know, the land, who knows? Maybe the crops were better over there. I tend to think they weren't, but maybe they were. But you want to know the reason why it was better to be on the other side of Jordan? Is because that is where the tabernacle was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that Ark of the Covenant was a picture of Jesus Christ. And can you imagine those cousins from the tribe of Judah and all those other ones that are on the other side going back to the half-tribe of Manasseh? And I can't remember which the other ones were. But they were saying, you should have been there last week when the Shekinah glory of God came and we saw the power and the glory of God manifested over the tabernacle. And they said, oh, well, that's really interesting. You know, well, we had a good crop yield. You know, well, you know what? You can't describe the fullness of that joy that they experienced in being that close in proximity to the Ark of the Covenant to someone who just simply wasn't there. So therefore, what's the admonition in the New Testament? Come and see, right? You know, I can't really explain to you properly joy unspeakable. Why? Because I can't speak it properly, right? You know, a peace that passes understanding. Well, I mean, I can't articulate those. I can't put into words the joy and the peace that I have. And it's a blessing to feel the peace that passes understanding when you're in a trial in life. And I felt that peace that passes understanding during circumstances that under normal circumstances I would have just melted down and not been able to handle it, but the Lord gave a peace that passes understanding. And that's a blessing. But really, the ultimate peace that passes understanding is the peace and the assurance and resting solely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the peace that truly passes understanding. Okay? Now, how can you explain that to someone who thinks they have peace, right? You know? The old saying from Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people. Well, it's hard to comfort the comfortable, right? How can I tell you that my peace and my joy is better than your peace and your joy? Well, the only thing I can tell you is just come and see. Come on the other side of Jordan. Come into the land that flows with milk and honey. And I will tell you, arguably, or what should be, the most precious fellowship and communion we have with Jesus Christ is our blessing to partake of, because this is primarily the difference in church membership, your blessing of partaking in the ordinances of the church, the ordinance of baptism, the ordinance of baptism that when you come up out of that water, 1 Peter 3 says, you have the answer of a good conscience before God that you've never had before. And it feels like, from Acts chapter 2, that is the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it feels like your sins were washed away that day. Now, they weren't washed away before God, but it felt like your sins were washed away. Why? Because you're feeling a joy unspeakable and a peace that passes under that you've never felt before. But then the other blessing is not just partaking in that ordinance, that's a one-time ordinance. We have the blessing of partaking in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper until Jesus Christ comes back the second time. And Jesus has promised that he will come and commune with us in this service. And I want to make sure we set our hearts for that. That it's a blessing to be around other people. It's a blessing to hug necks and to feel the love of Christ flow from breast to breast. But the communion service is about me and Jesus. Now, the closer I am with Jesus, the better I'm going to love all the rest of the members of the body of Christ. But this is between me and Jesus. It's between my heart and Jesus Christ, the hope of glory that resides in my heart. And Jesus desires, this is Luke 22, and in verse 15, he prepares the apostles, and he says, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That word desire speaks of a craving, a longing, a desiring. Jesus craves, he longs to partake of this intimate fellowship with his... What was man made for? Man was made for fellowship with God. That's what happened before the fall, right? They walked with God in the cool of the day. They were in perfect fellowship, in perfect communion with God. And praise the Lord, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that's what we'll be returning to in New Jerusalem and the new heavens and the new earth. We walked with God. Man was made by God in his image to walk in fellowship with him. And he says, my desire, my craving, my longing is to commune with this member of the bride that I love, with my child that I love, in this special, intimate way in partaking of this ordinance in the body of Christ. You know, we should have such a high view of communion that it should, the fear of losing out on this blessing should be enough to make us repent of sins that are destructive in our life. I mean, if we get to the point, or if someone gets to the point where we, after multitudes of counsel, they are unrepentant of a public sin, it's the church's duty to protect the body as a whole to remove them from church membership. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean you're not allowed in the building? No, you need to be in public worship, right? We're not going to shun you. We're not going to block you. We're not going to dodge your calls. And we're not going to tell you, don't you dare show up to church on Sunday. No, you need to be in church on Sunday. What are we really preventing them from doing? Partaking of communion. And communion should be so high in our mind because it is one of the pinnacle experiences of fellowship with Jesus Christ this side of heaven, that if I'm deprived of that, if I'm deprived of the opportunity to fellowship with Jesus Christ in this intimate way in the Lord's Supper and in communion, then I've got to give up this besetting sin. Because I wouldn't dare give up that special experience of fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. That's how high of a view of communion we should have. Because at the end of the day, that's the principal thing you're losing out if someone is excluded from the church. You're not losing out the ability to come to public worship. You're definitely not losing out of heaven. And we're not going to shun you. We're still going to try to love you back into where you need to be. What you're losing out on is the blessed opportunity to partake of this ordinance. Why? Because this is one of the closest blessings of fellowship with Jesus Christ that we have this side of heaven in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? He says, with great desire, I have longed to partake of this with you. And then in verse 16 there, for I say unto you, I will not eat any more until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he put it this way in Matthew 26, and we'll just skip to verse 29. He's speaking of the blood here, partaking of the wine. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So he's saying, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to come back to commune with you as you're partaking of the wine when you're partaking of this in remembrance of me. His desire is to fellowship with his children in this way. You know, it's hard to have a a close, intimate knowledge of someone without being around them and being in close proximity to them, right? So life eternal, this is language from John 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What is the pinnacle of the abundant life in the kingdom of God? What's the pinnacle? It is a growing, more intimate knowledge and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, how are you going to do that if you're not in the closest proximity to him as possible, right? The closest proximity to him is in baptism. Very quickly, Philippians 3, again, speaking of the knowledge. The Apostle Paul is speaking of all of these things that if any Jew in that day, that was a worldly-minded Jew, if they would have heard everything that he listed off, they would have said, boy, that's where I want to arrive at. That is my pinnacle of success. And he says, those things that were gained to me, I count them but loss, and doubtless I count them all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung that I may win Christ. What did he say was of more value than all of this prestige, the monetary benefits that go along with this kind of power? What is it? The knowledge of Jesus. You know, I can't articulate that properly for you. But the admonition is, listen, come and see. You know, if you have eyes that hear, you're going to see things in the kingdom of God that you just don't see outside. You're gonna hear things with ears that hear that you're gonna in the language in Hebrews 6 that's talking about children of God that have made shipwreck of their faith, but there was a time in their life where they have tasted the good word of the Lord. They have tasted the powers of the world to come. And I tell you, you're not gonna taste that by posting up like those 2.5 tribes on the other side of Jordan. You're not going to taste the fullness of it. You may taste a little bit of it, but I'll tell you, it's way better to be right beside the Ark of the Covenant in the land of Canaan, right? Verse 10 there, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. The word fellowship and communion are used interchangeably in the New Testament. So we could just as easily say the communion service. This is our fellowship service. This is our fellowship with Jesus Christ service. And he wants to fellowship with you, right? That's what he said. I crave, I desire, and I'm longing to partake of this with you in the kingdom of God. And boy, it's our privilege to have that same craving and desire to fellowship with him in this way. And then in Revelation 3, the church at Laodicea, they had a lot of problems. They were lukewarm. But I guarantee you, the church at Laodicea regularly had communion. Because if they didn't, it would have caused a lot of red flags, right? I mean, they had all these churches in the New Testament that had all these problems. Well, if word got out to the church at Laodicea, they just like quit observing communion. Well, that would be a problem. We know they observed communion. The problem was they weren't overly concerned about Jesus in the middle of the communion. Why? Because we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We're lukewarm. We don't need that. So the next time, this is the admonition to the saints in the church at Laodicea. Now, this is true on a daily basis. That we open the door of fellowship with Jesus Christ and we come in and sup with him and he with us. But it's especially true the next time, the next communion service after Laodicea got this letter, which one of you is going to show up and your heart is going to be fully focused on Jesus Christ instead of having this attitude that had permeated the whole church that we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Here's the language. Revelation 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, he's not knocking on the door of the sinner's heart, right? What's he knocking on? He's knocking on a church that wasn't overly desiring fellowship. It's supposed to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Well, you don't know what was missing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, right? So he's saying, listen, the next time you show up to communion, church at Laodicea, every single one of you individually needs to examine your heart. And if any of you puts your soul focus on me, when even it doesn't matter. Now, you can exhort other members of your church to do the same thing. You can set a good example for them to follow. But ultimately, it's between me and the Lord. It's between me and Jesus Christ. And he says, if any one of you actually partakes of communion in the way that you're supposed to, church at Laodicea, I'm going to come and sup. You know, what did Jesus, we're going to observe the communion service. It's the Last Supper, right? Now, there's a spiritual application of that. Jesus is the living bread. He's the living water, right? And we are communing with Jesus Christ as we're partaking of these physical things. But what was the Last Supper? It was a supper, right? It was him partaking of this meal, and it wasn't about the food. It was about the immediate presence of Jesus. And think about the intimacy of that setting. Jesus bowed down and he washed their feet. The Apostle John was laying on the breast of Jesus Christ. This was an intimate setting, a close setting of love. And he says, if any of you open the door of fellowship, I'm right here waiting to come and manifest a powerful abundance of my Holy Spirit and my presence that you either haven't felt before or you haven't felt in a very long time in the middle of this lukewarm church. So the admonition there is for every one of us, we have the opportunity to approach the Lord's table with a greater focus, with a greater intimacy, with a greater fervency today than we have before. Okay? And what's the promise of Jesus? The promise of Jesus is that my desire is to come and sup with you. And if you approach unto me in that way, I promise that I will come. I will come and sup with you. And that's how we grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how we grow in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And the Lord is so gracious to give us this ordinance to partake of. But this ordinance can only properly be partaken of by those who have professed a belief in Jesus Christ and been baptized. And if you don't believe that communion is better than not partaking of it, if you don't believe that washing the saints' feet is better than not partaking of it, my admonition to you is just come and see. Come and see. And I will tell you, it's way better in the land that flows with milk and honey than being right on the brink and trying to look over the shore. Okay? Come on in. Come on in to the land of Canaan, land that flows with milk and honey into Mount Zion.